like to sing a hymn tonight. Number 11, we sang it earlier, just like to sing the first two verses. You know, as we present the gospel of the grace of God, many here presented it. It was presented last night. Sometimes we present it as if our life depends on it. Tonight, mine doesn't. But yours might. Let's sing number 11, the first couple of verses. We start that.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life, when the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have anchor that gives us soul, steadfast and sure on the hill of troll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. Will your anchor hold in the straits of fear, when the breakers roar and the reef is near? The surges rave and the wild winds blow, shall the angry waves in your bark o'erflow? We have anchor that keeps us so steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Maybe if we have enough time at the end of the meeting, we'll sing the latter two verses of that lovely hymn. I stand before you here as a happy man. My anchor holds. Does your anchor hold? Just before we pray, I'd like to tell a little incident. I buried my first sibling about a month ago. My brother Peter, he's at home with the Lord. I'm going to tell a little incident in his life when he was 4 years old. He's 8 years older than I am, so I don't remember this incident, but my mother told it to me. So it was the winter time, and he wanted to go outside and play, and she dressed him up in his winter clothes, and I don't know what it was, but she told him he wasn't supposed to do something. Anyway, he went outside. Unbeknownst to him, she could see him from the kitchen window. He goes outside and he does exactly what she told him not to do. So he comes back in and she challenges him. I told you not to do such and such. I didn't do it. Well, yes, you did. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Well, how do you know? And in my mother's French-Canadian way of presenting to him that he had a guilty look on his face, she says, it's written all over your forehead. And I don't know what transpired, but a few days later, he comes in again, and she's got no idea what he's been doing. But he comes in the house and he's pulling his hair down for his forehead. You know, as older ones, we're not 4 years old. We're a little bit more sophisticated, aren't we? In the facade that we have and the veneer that we put on. How about tonight, as we pray and we listen to the message, we get the hair off our foreheads and we would be real with God. He was trying to pretend, cover up. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're lost in your sins, and you've been faking it this whole time. Perhaps there are those here that think you know the Lord Jesus, and you're nothing but a fake. Pray tonight that every one of us would be real with ourselves. We would be real before God. There would be no pulling the hair over our foreheads. Let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee that last night He was presented in all His glory. Amid the darkness, there can be marvelous light. And we thank Thee now it's our privilege to be able to open Thy precious word and to read from these blessed pages. We just would pray that our hearts would be open tonight, that we would have a listening ear, and that we would seek our God to be real before Thee, as Thou dost desire to be real with us. So we would ask for Thy help tonight. And we just would pray for Thy blessing upon Thy precious word. For some heart here who is perhaps without Christ, we just would pray that they would come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus tonight. And to see that blessed one in all His beauty and all His glory, they would be able to go on their way rejoicing. So, our God, we ask these things and just would ask for special help tonight, for utterance and for wisdom. We'd ask it in the worthy and the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8, commence at verse 4. When much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked the moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And the disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" Then he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: a seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. But that in the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." Cindy and I hopped on the plane on Thursday and our seats were not together. We thought maybe we'd get to sit together on the way here. It wasn't my portion. I sat down in my seat. A gentleman came along, sat down. Very talkative. He was the head of a engineering firm. And he was complaining that he always he always flies first class, and that it was full, and he wasn't able to do that. And he went on to tell me about his business, quite a talkative fellow. I sat there, didn't say anything, and just listened to him speak. And after he went on and on, he said, "So what do you do?" I said, "Oh, I hammer some nails." "Oh, that's a nice profession." And he pulled out his Wall Street Journal to the financial section and started to read it. And then he stopped and he looked at me and he said, "You want to tell me more about his life?" He said, "You know, I was brought up a Catholic, and I've left that behind. I'm an agnostic. That's what I am." I'm not sure where this came from, but I'm just sitting there. And he's an agnostic, and he's he and his wife got married in a denomination where they could get it done fast and there would be no spiritual advancement, and he's quite happy the way he lives his life. And anyway, he opened up his paper and started to check out the Dow Jones. So I sat there for a while, and after about 20 minutes, I reached down into my briefcase and I pulled out my Bible, and I had it on my lap, and I'm reading it, and sitting there with this paper, and out of my peripheral vision, right, I see, and it looks over like this, and it looks over again, and pretty soon he's and I was thankful for your comments, Stan, for marking up your Bible. After a while, he puts his paper away, and he says, "You know, that must be an old family Bible for many generations, with all those markings in it." I said, "It's actually my new Bible." I said, "Your new Bible?" So I pulled out my old Bible. Tattered and yellow, and he said, "Wow, that looks centuries old." And he just stopped and he looked, and he said, "Wow, that must be a real passion." I said, "Well, actually, the author is a passion. You know that the whole demeanor changed. And all of a sudden, he's asking questions. And this concept of being an agnostic was fading into the background as he was sitting beside someone that was reading a book that meant so much to him that it looked to him like it was an old, old book. I won't tell you the rest of the story. I want to go and look at what we have here in this gospel. We start off with this parable of the sower. And it says, the sower went out to sow his seed, and he sowed. Some fell by the wayside and was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. The wayside. And we read a lot about the wayside. It was the wayside where we read about Judah went into Tamar. It was the wayside. We read about Eli. It says he was sitting on a in his seat by the wayside when he heard that the ark was taken. We read about blind Bartimaeus by the wayside. Such a number of places by the wayside. What does the wayside speak to us of? The wayside, if you can picture in your mind, a track in the country where there's grass on either side and grass up the middle, and there are these two tracks where the tires go. You can all picture what I'm talking about. Where the tires go, that's the wayside. It's the hard packed dirt where when you throw the seed, nothing can happen because it's so hard packed. I'm just wondering if there's someone here tonight and your heart is like the wayside, and as we present the word, it's hard packed and you're just not interested. It can't go down into the ground, and it can't germinate and it can't sprout because it's hard packed. Turn with me for a moment to the book of Job. Job 23. Because if there's such a one here tonight, this is very needful for you. Job 23. Job 23 and verse 16, it says, "For God
maketh my heart soft. Oh, I trust that there's someone here tonight, and you have a hard, hard heart. My prayer, the prayer of many here tonight, is that God would soften your heart so that the good seed would land into fertile ground. The wayside, the hard, packed dirt. We could elaborate on that. We've got 12 minutes left. Let's go on to the next one. Verse 6. And some fell upon rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. The rocky ground. Perhaps there's someone here and you've got no interest whatsoever in the Word of God. You know, the reason that the seed withered when it landed on the rocky ground is because it lacked moisture. So you see the expression, it lacked moisture and it withered. That's what it did. It's the same with those of us who are believers. If we don't read the Word, we're just going to wither. But if there's someone here and you're opposed to the Word, there's no spiritual value in your life, none whatsoever. And God has given you the opportunity tonight. Perhaps your heart was hard, like the hard-packed dirt. Maybe God is making it soft tonight. And maybe the water of the Word that we're presenting right now is going to cause the moisture to go in and to be able to take the good seed that we're sowing and for it to germinate and bring forth fruit. Well, then what do we read? Verse 7. And some fell among thorns. And the thorns sprung up and choked it. That's an interesting expression, you know. We had before us yesterday all the demons and how they went into the pigs. And it said the pigs ran down. It's actually in the next chapter. It's actually in this chapter. Chapter 8. Verse 33. Then went out the demons out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. Now, this is an interesting concept in connection with presenting the Word. Because if you look over at verse 13, it says, are they on the rock? Or rather, they are on the thorns. Verse 14, they which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked. The cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life bring no fruit to perfection. You know, it's those things that choke out the Word. You understand the concept of the word choking? You know, have you ever seen a baby start to choke? And what the mother does? She doesn't casually sit on her chair with her feet up on another chair and watch the baby choke. You know, everything else goes out of her mind as she goes to that baby and tries to dislodge what's stuck in the throat of the child. And that's what happens when we're choking. Any of us, when we choke, you know, we're not conscious of anything else around other than what's stuck in our throat. And that's what the enemy does with these things that he's speaking about. The pleasures, the cares of this life, which are real. And they choke out the Word. You know, it's interesting. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter. Matthew 18. In verse 23, it says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. And for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I'll pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. And the same servant went out, and found one of his fellows, the servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him. And this is the thought of choking. It says he took him by the throat. That's what he did. Tried to dislodge, tried to stop the air from going in. And it's interesting, isn't it? that that's what the enemy uses to try to dislodge the word sown in our hearts. You know, it's amazing that in Luke's gospel, the enemy is referred to the devil twice. Once, when he unsuccessfully tempts the Lord Jesus, and the other, when he very successfully deceives men. And he does it by choking out the word. And I just wonder if there's someone new tonight. As we present the word, as we present, I'm not thinking of an audience here. I recognize that there was someone here that has walked in that hasn't been here all day, that we've changed gears here a little bit. But we're speaking to an audience that has heard the gospel many, many times. And maybe there's someone here tonight. And the enemy of our souls is trying to choke you so that you don't listen to the word. A solemn, solemn thing. You know, it says here, verse 8, other fell on good ground and sprung up and bear fruit a hundredfold. When he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, we trust that there's someone here tonight that doesn't know the Savior, that you would hear. You would listen to the gospel of the grace of God. You know, just 3 weeks ago, I was working with my son-in-law in a house. I was kind of directing traffic there. And the lady of the house, we worked there a number of times before. The lady came over to me. Her husband was sick. He's actually a cancer patient in a hospital bed in the living room. And she called me into another room. And she said, Dave, I need to talk to you. Yeah. So we're sitting there in the family room. He's in the living room. We're sitting in the family room. She said, Dave, you seem to have a lot more confidence and a lot more peace than anybody at the church that we go to. Would you take my husband's service? He's about to pass away. Not the Lord's either. I'm thinking, well, yeah, I guess I could do that. Anyway, a few days later, I popped a visit with him, and I went in and I visit with her, and she's all about works, all about the good things she's done and how good living people, and she's telling me the whole story, you know, it's interesting, her and her husband had never talked about him stepping over that line. And I turned her to the thief on the cross. And we went through that portion where the thief on the cross, I would have turned to this portion, we don't have time to it. I would have turned to it if there was someone here that had just walked in. But the thief on the cross says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me. Now come into thy kingdom. The thief on the cross, he owned Jesus as Lord. And I went through that portion with this woman, and I said, you know, what could this man do in the way of good works? He was a robber. How could he pay back the things that he had stolen? How could he even go to someone and say he was sorry for the things that he had done? She kind of thought about that, and you know, I left. And unbeknownst to me, she goes into her husband. And she takes up the thief on the cross with him. And my wife and I are discussing this at home. And my wife decides she's going to go and visit with him. The next morning she arrives with a basket of, I don't know, buns or scones or whatever. And never met them before. And goes in, and 2.5 hours later, the man has greatly confessed the Lord. 90 years old. Just a short time to live. Well, he passes away. And she tells me the service is going to be in another few days. And on a Friday night, I get a call from a brother. Doesn't live close to me. said, you know, there's a young man here, and he has a grandmother who's dying of cancer, and she lives in a little town called Smith Falls. And he wondered if he knew anybody in Smith Falls or close by that'd be able to go and visit with his grandmother and give her the gospel. So, of course, I live right around the corner. So I go there the next morning. My granddaughter's just born, so I have a peek at her, and then I go to look this lady up, and I couldn't find her. Couldn't find anything about her. And I thought, well, you know, I've made the time to do this. Maybe I'll go over and see this widow that's just lost her husband. So it's the way the Lord opens the door. I go over there. She's reading John's Gospel. And just from reading the Word, she says to me, Dave, I've asked the Lord to forgive me of all my sins. Do you think he has? Do you think he has? Lady, 85 years old. Here's a man, 90 years old. Wife, 85 years old. Both come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus and owned Jesus as Lord. You know, I found out that the lady in the hospital had died. That's why I couldn't go to see her. And her grandson had been on the phone just before she passed away, and she turned to the Lord too. You know, it's marvelous that the Lord can take up the Word of God and make it good to the soul. And I'm just thinking, is there someone here tonight? And you know the gospel. You know that the Lord Jesus has died. You know that he's shed his precious blood for your sins. And you know that if you would simply repent and ask the Lord Jesus to deal with those sins, that it's done. Is there someone here? You know, we're a proud race. We have a hard time. We have a hard, hard time owning Jesus as Lord. Would you do that tonight? Would you be able to do that? Own Jesus as Lord. Own your lost and ruined condition before the Lord himself, before God. Be real before him with no hair over the forehead. Could you do that tonight and just ask God to wash those sins away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus? It's marvelous to be here in a company with so many that know the Lord Jesus as Savior. And we just trust that if there's someone here and your heart is hard so that the Word can't penetrate, oh, that it would do so tonight. You know, I had the privilege of 2 years ago in the wintertime, a man calling me up and saying, Dave, I'd just like to have your peace. I'd like to have your peace. And I said, well, you know, come on over. And my wife was in Florida, and we spent some time together over the Word. And I said to him, I said, you know, how real is this? He says, it's real. I said, is it real enough to talk to God about it right now? And he says, yes. And just poured his heart out to the Lord. You know, a few months later, I had some Bible studies with him. He said to me, Dave, I'm having a hard time reading the Bible. I read all kinds of things, but I'm having a hard time reading the Bible. And at the time, I was reading this portion in Luke's Gospel. And you know, I came to this portion here where it says, in verse 6, some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. I thought, you know, he needs to hear that. He needs to hear that if we don't read, and we're just going to be like that, and we're just going to wither. And so I drive over to his house, and on my way over, I stop, and I park, and I just commit it to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless his word, to help me to be in a good spirit to be able to present it, and help him to be in a good spirit to be able to receive it. And I drive in his driveway just as he's taking a sprinkler and putting it onto some fresh grass that's up this high that he planted a week before. You know, it's amazing the way the Lord opens up something like that. And I'm just thinking tonight, if there's someone here and your heart is like the hard, packed dirt, two things. The heart has to be soft. That's a work of God. And the moisture of the Word of God has to go in. And it sprouts. and there's light. Oh, just tonight, I see our time is up. If there's anyone here, and you're lost and in your sins, and perhaps it's the cares of this life that are choking the word out, or maybe it's the hard-packed dirt, or maybe it's no moisture. Oh, tonight, trust that you would turn to the Lord. And come to know Him as your Lord and Savior, and God as your Father. Let's sing those last two verses of...
And then we started with number 11.
Will your anchor hold in the floods of death? Did somebody start the third and fourth verse?
Will your anchor hold in the floods of death? When the waters cold chill your latest breath? On the rising tide you can never fail. While your anchor holds within the veil, we have anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firmly in the Savior's love. Will your eyes behold through the morning light, the sea of gold and the harbor bright? Will your anchor safe by the heavenly shore, when my storms are past forevermore? We have anchor that keeps our soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
You know, I mentioned that my brother passed away a month ago. He passed away suddenly. He dropped dead of a heart attack. This other man we're speaking about, he was on his deathbed, and he had a few days after the gospel was presented to him. If my brother had been lost, there would have been no opportunity to come to the Lord. We don't know how the Lord is going to take us. You know, a day and a half before the Lord took my brother, we'd have been in constant contact because he had a hip replacement a couple months before I did, so I was kind of eager to know what the next step was. This is what he texted me a day and a half before he dropped dead. I've been enjoying the peace of God and the God of peace. As I'm facing heart surgery in the next few weeks, I've had this going through my mind constantly. Oh, the peace forever flowing from God's thoughts of His own Son. Oh, the peace of simply knowing on the cross that all was done. And then he says, the peace that comes from knowing who is in control passes our understanding. The last words I got from my brother a day and a half before the Lord took him. You have that peace tonight? I know so many here do. But do you have it tonight? As you sit there in your chair, peace of God passes all understanding. Oh, we trust tonight. We've come to the Savior. If you don't, let's just pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for the Savior. We thank Thee for so many of us here that know that Blessed One is our Lord, Lord and Savior. We thank Thee, our God, that we can know Thee as Father. A company here, but perhaps there's someone here and they don't have peace. There is someone here and their heart is like the hard packed wayside. We just would pray their hearts would be touched tonight, or perhaps there are those cares of the life, the pleasures and the various things that the enemy of our soul seeks to choke out the word. Oh, we just would pray, our God, the good seed would fall on fertile soil tonight for Thine honor and glory. We ask these things, our God, as we give thanks the worthy and the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.